T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And welcome in, Mustard and Johnson, doing that AM thing. We're just a bunch of old-fashioned traditionalists. We love amplitude, modulated, monaural radio. It's 850 AM WEEI, right back where we started years and years ago. We do this thing for three, count them, three action-packed hours all the way to 12 noon. And we'll get you ready for the Patriots. Big showdown in Cincinnati against the Bengals. Pats lost two in a row, in case you didn't remember, with all the Cincinnati sideline brouhaha swirling about. And, of course, Pats looking to rebound, probably should against technically the worst team in the National Football League. But no one's talking about the game, Larry Johnson, because once again, we have Spy Ducks, how about Spygate, the sequel. Bill Belichick is being questioned by the media 10 years on. Do you believe that there is some nefarious machinations going on with Belichick and the Patriots with this sideline situation?
One of the things, too, is you look at this past week with the local entries, Celtics lost, the Bruins lost. Red Sox are having Shaughnessy saying that it's one of their worst off seasons they've had in years as far as adding. And I don't know who you can blame. If John Henry wants to cut the payroll back, by cutting the payroll, it means that you're really not adding any real big names. So it's going to be very interesting to see how they end up this season and who they trot out on the field. Celtics lost. Again, I think they're going to be competitive. They'll be in the hunt, but I don't see anything great coming out of them because they don't really have a big man's presence in the middle. And, you know, that speaks for itself.
We'll get into all that, but the story really.
Well, the story is, I'm just saying, the overview, when you look at the week itself, there's not a whole lot to get excited about. As far as the Patriots are concerned, I thought the game last week, I thought they got screwed.
Really?
Big time with the referees.
That's an original take. I've never heard that one before.
No, normally I don't play that game that often, but they really did. The fumble that was picked up, scooped up for a score, and the referees blew the whistle, that was terrible. Absolutely terrible. And then, of course, the Harry touchdown, he kept both feet inbounds. You could see it very clearly from the end zone camera and scored a touchdown, and they ruled that out of bounds. It was just terrible. It is just terrible. I know Mutt's a big proponent of laying the buck down and betting these games. I could never bet on any of these games, particularly with the officiating. You have no control over it, and a guy can be standing like 1 foot away from the play, and he just doesn't see it or doesn't react to it. So I thought that really was a downer with last week's game. And I'm going to tell you the truth, Craig, and I've followed this team since its inception back in 1960. Ron Burton and Bay Pirelli and Capoletti and all of the great players of yesteryear. I've just about, I'm not there yet, but I'm just about fed up with this team. And it's just, it's constantly different things going on. It's just, even if it's not their fault, like they're constantly in the news. You started off this year with Kraft and the Orchids of Asia foolishness down there, and it's just like they can't stay out of their own way. And this taping, apparently, they sent two people. I don't know whether they work for Kraft as a production company. They went to Cleveland or
most Cleveland.
Cleveland, yeah. They went down the.
How do you feel about Cleveland, by the way?
Well, I don't. You can't blame the Browns this time. And apparently, they were taping. It's supposed to be for some feature on Do Your Job or something, and it was just. They had no business doing it. They didn't seek permission from both parties that were involved. And, you know, it's just, it's one thing after the other. And I find it's impossible to keep defending them. You know, I have a lot of friends out there nationally, and they all call laughing and joking about this and that. And I tell you, I have a hard time defending them in the different situations that they continue to get involved in between Kraft, and it's all of them, Kraft, Belichick, and Brady to a lesser degree. It's just, it's ridiculous, and I've about had it.
Well, you understand, and I certainly understandable that if you're a Patriot fan and you watched how the officials officiated that game on Sunday, you'd be outraged, although we certainly know the Patriots have been the beneficiaries on the other side many times, including most recently those two phantom tripping calls against Dallas.
One that on a was big, terrible, too.
One on a big third down that was taken away. Not that the Cowboys would have won, but that was atrocious. And there have been calls over the years, Miles Jack, the fumble recovery that wasn't in the AFC Championship game a couple years ago against the Jags. And we know that they got the ultimate, even though it was technically the rule, they got the ultimate call in the history of the National Football League, which is the tuck rule. So I'm not going to cry too much for Patriot fans, although certainly
see,
that care. Game was
awful. I don't care who it is. I think I agree. Dallas got screwed.
Yeah, the officials are just bad.
I don't care who it is. I'm just asking for some good decent point. Officiating. Yeah. I don't care which team it is.
Yeah,
I was outraged for the Cowboys.
I don't think that particular officiating team will be seen in any postseason scenarios.
Oh,
let's put
gosh,
it that way.
Just terrible.
Absolutely terrible. And if you're a Patriot fan, you're outraged. But you know what? It does cover up if we're distracted by the officiating story and the Cincinnati sideline story. It masks something that is far more important. And as we look ahead to the end of the Patriot regular season and onto the playoffs, this team has lost two in a row. All three losses are teams they potentially will face again that could be good or bad, depending on how you look at it, in the playoffs. Last year at this time, they had lost two in a row, the Miami Miracle and the Pittsburgh game. They got their act together, winning the final two regular season games. I just don't, even if they do win out, which I think they will, can this team do what they did last year? Can they get healthy in mind and body over these last three games and make a legitimate, incredible run at yet another Super Bowl?
They play Cincinnati, and then they play Buffalo, and who's the last game?
Miami.
Yeah.
Well. So they play two at home against teams they should beat from the AFC East, although Buffalo is certainly a much better club than they have recently been. And, you know, they're playing the god-awful Cincinnati Bengals tomorrow. If they don't win that game, you know, then you know the season's over. And that's, I guess, one of the reasons why you could defend Belichick and company. I think it's a plausible explanation that it was Kraft Media Productions. They were doing a website story on an advanced scout. The producer didn't understand all the whys and wherefores and all the little rules and protocols about how to film and what not to film.
B-roll!
I can understand all that.
Now, why, unfortunately, why is it always them, though?
That's the problem. Because they're not dealing with a very deep reservoir of goodwill or credibility. That reservoir is very shallow at this point.
I mean, if I were Kraft, man, I'd be walking around there in Dallas and the meetings they have with a mask on. I wouldn't want anybody to know who I am. I wouldn't want to be involved with any questions, any controversies of any sort. Just let me get through this season and move on. I don't understand how these guys continue to be in the news. If you watched any of that 100 Greatest Players and you watched Belichick on the panel with Collinsworth and the like, and he's so glib and really involved and participating and on every player and glib comments about this one and that one. And you wonder, is this the same guy that we listen to every week and you can barely get anything out of him? I just think it's, I think the time has come. You can be the most ardent Patriot fan out there. Well, you're just sick of it. I really am. I'm sick of it. And I don't care you know, whose fault or whatever. It's just they're always the ones in the news. And it gets tiring after a while. It really, really does.
Well, one of the reasons why they're in the news, you know, good news is because they're the best team in the last 20 years and maybe the greatest dynasty in the history of the game, the focus and the spotlight is always going to be on the New England Patriots. Obviously, when you add in Spygate, you throw in Deflategate, you throw in the Kraft peccadillo, the AB situation, you go back to Lisa Olson in the early 90s, Fairbanks getting fired the day before or the week before their playoff game against Houston in 1978.
I was at that game.
All the various venues that the Patriots played in the 1960s before finally getting the old Schaefer/Patriot Stadium down in Foxborough, the old one before they built the new building. So it has been a tempestuous, tumultuous 59 years going all the way back, as you said, to 1960. But I think one of the reasons why there's so much controversy is, again, because we know there's a lot of jealousy out there, a lot of envy. The hate runs rampant.
To send Laurel and Hardy to right. Cleveland to videotape that, something.
Not a good move. Right.
No, not a good. That's nothing to do with jealousy right. or anything. Some of the other stuff I can agree with you on. But it's just they're always in the news for something negative. And it's just tiring. Then when you have a coach who feels that he doesn't have to respect or answer to anybody, the combination is just annoying. And now Kraft doesn't feel he has to speak to anybody or give any answers to anything. It's just a bad combination.
And I don't. Tom Bowden is winning.
And you could be the greatest Patriots fan in the world, and you have to admit this is running its lot to an end. This is tiring.
Well, I think you're tired of the Patriots for a couple of reasons. They haven't played good football over the last couple of weeks. I don't think that helps. I think the prospects right now seem especially bleak as they ever have been, maybe in the Brady, in the Belichick era. Because right now it doesn't feel as if the Patriots are going to make the rebound, do that 180 that they pulled off last year, and win five in a row and take home another Vince Lombardi trophy. Does it feel like that to you right now?
No.
That's the problem.
Listening to Mark with a C last night, and he had a really good show on. He had Roland, Ben Volen on there and the like. And the reality is, if you examine the past 5 years with their draft picks and everything, it's just, in most cases, it's horrendous. And it's just, it's a combination of things. Nobody can come up with any answers or anything. And they're just, it's inexcusable, some of the things that they have done. And yet nobody feels they have to give any answers.
Well, they don't have to because they've won so often. They're entitled to it, Larry, because
they won last year because the Rams were awful.
Well, you could look at it that way, but
yes,
this was a team that was left for dead. Yeah, I remember the headline, the front page of the Globe last year, after the Pittsburgh game, and that was week, I think it was 1 week ahead. They had two games left after the Pittsburgh game. But they pretty much had written the Patriots 2018 obituary on the front page. Not the front page of the sports page, the front page of the front page. Okay? Above the fold, the Patriots were just about done. People could not understand it. I don't think they have it in them. We talked about this last week, even before the Kansas City game. It doesn't appear that they could beat a team like Baltimore. But I'll tell you what, I'm not counting them out. I think right now, I don't know if you've consciously thought about this, but I think you look at it as this is a hopeless season anyway. They cannot beat Lamar Jackson and company, especially if they have to go to Baltimore again. So all of it kind of piles up, and it's an accumulation of all the other things on the field, off the field. It just doesn't look like it's headed very to the promised land again. And you were talking to me off the air before the show began. You brought up the Brady's. That also clouds things. That also adds to this depression.
I was talking to someone pretty close to the team yesterday, and I was just laughing a little bit about it. I said, well, is there anything to this Brady thing? I mean, what's that coming from? He might leave and everything. And the person said, don't laugh. He said, it wouldn't put it past me if they lowball him, and then he just says the hell with it and leaves and goes to Miami or goes to some other team to finish out his career. He said, don't laugh. I said, really? So this, you know, on top of everything else people have put up with this year, they could very easily lose Brady. They don't have a number two pick in the draft. I'm just very, very depressed right now about the direction this team is going in.
All right. I bet you will change your tune because I know you very well, and you tend to be a little volatile and emotional. I say you're going to feel much better. I'm going to write this down. It's, what is it? It's 9:16. And what's the date? Today is the 14th. Okay, 9:16 a.m. on 12/14/2019. I'm going to predict that you will feel better about the Patriots after they win their final three games. They're going to get a home game in the playoffs. They'll probably get the second seed. They'll take on probably the winner of Kansas City and Buffalo.
I don't think you should underestimate Buffalo. That's a different team this year.
You think Buffalo can come in and beat the
Patriots? I think the quarterback's playing a little bit better.
A little bit better.
I'm not saying they will, but I don't think it's a give me. It's not like the Cincinnati and Miami game.
No.
By any means.
No, it's not a gimme. I will say that.
They've got players that, like, the running attack. They cannot. The people that they have out there, they cannot run.
You're talking about the Patriots.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sony Michel.
Wynn has been okay. The offensive line is not that hot. I know they lost their center, and I understand all that. I'm just saying it's not one of those top flight seasons, and even when they get in the playoffs, I don't know how they're going to fare, depending on who they end up playing.
Well, most likely,
Kansas City.
They're going to play a team that they've already lost to, perhaps twice. I think they're going to have to beat Kansas City at home and then Baltimore on the road.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to do that.
Could they beat one of those teams after losing? Probably.
I like Baltimore a lot. I like the way they play. They're professional, and they got a good running attack, a good passing, and I mean, I like them a lot. I really do.
Well, it's impossible.
San Francisco is a great team.
Well, you look at those two games last week. Buffalo in Buffalo, Baltimore survived a very tough Buffalo team. Managed to win that game, but it was close. Buffalo was knocking on the door at the end of that game and could have actually scored the game-tying touchdown, sending it in overtime. It didn't happen, kind of like the Pats in their desperate fourth and three, the ball was knocked away in the end zone. That was a good game, but they really played well, the Ravens, on Thursday night. They just rolled. First three possessions, touchdowns. Lamar Jackson, everybody talking about what he can do with his legs. Look what he did with his arm. Five touchdowns. And he was putting the ball right on the nose. I mean, he was just delivering that football, throwing deep, doing just about everything. I know it's against a bad Jets team, but, yeah, the Ravens, you're absolutely right, look very impressive. But if the Ravens want to get to the Super Bowl, they're going to have to beat the Patriots twice. If Kansas City wants to go to a Super Bowl, they're going to have to beat the Patriots twice. Are the Patriots that down this year? They can't figure out a way to beat?
You watch the games. You watch the games.
See, I am one of those.
Other than Edelman,
right.
Tell me who you really have confidence in their passing attack. You can't say Harry because he hasn't been out there enough.
Well, wait a minute. If the referees didn't butcher that call, we would be probably talking bit differently about N'Keal Harry, because that was a very good individual play.
Sanu, I don't know yet. I don't think he's a stiff by
any
means.
He's second or third receiver. Yeah. That's the problem. He's not going to deliver in clutch situations. He really has had really a minor role so far, even though he gets a lot of snaps.
Gave up a number two pick for him.
And I think that last play of the game for the Patriots, I think it said it all. You saw Jacoby Myers was open in the middle of the field, had the first down. He was between the – because they could have gotten a first down without scoring a touchdown. He was about on the one-yard line. He was open. Brady elected not to go there, went to his reliable, steady, the guy that he knows best, and the ball was knocked away. It wasn't the best decision by Brady.
Reminds me of that play when the, Larry Bird was on a break and racing down the floor, and Greg Kite was in front of him. And
never forget that. Yep. I think I'll opt for the other
Bird
cutter.
Went to throw the pass, yeah. And he pulled it back in and yep. just said, I'll wait and go another direction.
Because Greg Kite, for those of you who weren't around in the 1980s watching Celtic basketball, was maybe the worst shooter in the history of the league. He couldn't even make a layup. Greg Kite had no offensive talent whatsoever, certainly couldn't finish. He was a good rebounder and good off the bench as far as providing, you know, maybe 10 minutes of good, solid basketball on the baseline, but certainly not an offensive machine, to say the least. But I just think, and I'm just trying to psychoanalyze you here, I'm putting you on the WEEI Sports Radio AM couch.
It's very depressing right now, right. Craig. It's very.
I wouldn't go that far.
No, it is. It is.
It's the rainy day? Is that the
problem? No.
You got the Christmas blues?
Stop
What's
kidding.
Happening?
Yeah. Stop kidding. You want me to be serious?
I do. I do want
it's
you.
It's very serious.
Well, it's football.
No. Okay. It's not just like one area that you can say I'm really concerned about. I think when you look at the team in its totality, there's just a lot of cracks in the wall. They're just the offense is inept. God, I don't know what Bob Kraft is doing. I have no idea. The Brady situation, it's not, they're not playing that well right now, and this is not a good time to be playing bad. Regardless of what happens, you know, if they beat Cincinnati tomorrow, everybody will be all excited and everything. We predicted that they would win, they have great success the first 10 games of the season because of the way the schedule was laid out. And we all kept saying, wait until they play the Iron.
Right.
And that's what happened.
Right. Yep, they had a 5-game gauntlet. They won twice and lost 3 times. And the difference between this year and last year, if you remember, Larry, all the teams they lost to last year were teams that, believe it or not, did not make the playoffs, including Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh still had a shot after they beat the Pats, but then they lost to New Orleans the next week. And
see, I understand a team like Pittsburgh. They lost their starting quarterback. They lost a great wide receiver. They lost a great running back, and yet they're still in the hunt.
They're 8-5. I'd rather be in a
third-string quarterback. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, but I'd rather be in the Patriots situation. And again, I think your expectations are so high for this team. They should be, of course. It's Super Bowl
Craig,
or bust.
I'm asking for a completed pass. Now, how is that expectations too high? A completed pass. And if I see Brady throw the ball on the ground one more time, it's terrible.
Yeah. And his numbers
were
poor.
And I know he said, he doesn't like the receivers. He doesn't get any help. Well, I watched the game the other night, and they had a Jets were down to like their last receiver or something, and the guy comes in the game, and he's catching passes and everything. And I'm saying, well, he doesn't seem to have any trouble finding his way around.
Right. You wonder if the Patriots can do maybe in the passing game what they did in the running game last year, where they found a running game, they refocused their offensive philosophy.
Ooh.
I'm talking about last year.
Well, I'm talking about now.
Okay.
Damian Harris.
Now, could they?
They haven't played Harris at all.
Right.
They picked him so high, I don't understand why they don't use him.
But see, the problem is you can't ask Belichick anything because he sounds like an idiot responding. That's what's so frustrating about this. You don't even get any answers.
We're doing what's best for the football team.
We're going to get Karen on again later on. I know we had her on last week, but she is so tied in with this team and some of the things that are going on and not going on. So we'll get her later on in the program. But
I feel so blessed to be in your presence.
Yeah, I'll bet. But it's not, you know, but he's rude. He's arrogant. He doesn't want to answer anything that he doesn't feel he has to answer. And now you got the owner out there doing the most ridiculous of all things. Then when you add the film session to it all, it's enough to make you just say the hell with them. But yeah.
You will change your mind. Okay. I know you will.
All right.
I think you're reacting in the moment. You're not thinking it
Craig,
through.
It's not the moment.
It's an emotional response.
This has been going
response.
On for the past 2 weeks.
Two weeks, Larry.
Have you been watching? No. It's not just losing a game. Have you been watching the offense?
I have seen the offense.
And
not impressive, to say the least. They weren't impressive in two losses. Well, they didn't look that bad. Certainly the offense was not to blame for the Miami loss last year.
And, well, that was just plain stupidity.
But what they did.
We never got an answer why Gronk was out there covering the last bastion of hope as the running back ran by him for a touchdown. We never got an answer to that.
Right. And we thought that was catastrophic, Larry. And then you added the game against Pittsburgh where Brady threw 3-4 passes in the end zone futilely, all incomplete, and they lose that game. And everybody thought it was over.
You know, the part that you seem to be downplaying is the fact that they don't have Gronk. Edelman is beat up. The guy's out there getting double, triple teamed out there, and nobody else can get open, Craig.
Right.
It's not a panic move on my part. I'm asking you, what do you see when you watch the game out
I
there?
I still see, and this is what I see, and this is why I would never count this team out. You look at as you see all the deficiencies, I still see Tom Brady, and I still see Bill Belichick, and I think that in some sort of postseason showdown where it really matters, can Kansas City come back here and win another game? I don't think so. Is Baltimore going to be capable of doing what they did against the Patriots again in the AFC Championship game? Is Lamar Jackson ready for prime time? He looked great on Thursday. That's against the Jets. That's in the regular season.
I like both teams, Kansas City and Baltimore.
No, and I understand. I mean, if you look at it from a national perspective right now, if you're looking at it totally objectively and you're trying to assess and seed these teams, if you're saying who's the team most likely to go to the Super Bowl coming out of the AFC, certainly Ravens 1, probably Chiefs 2, and then the Patriots. But I'm telling you, Ravens still have two more games. If they win one, they clinch. If they lose two games, which is probably unlikely, all they have to do is win one more at home to finish it off against Pittsburgh. They're on the road, not this week because they played Thursday night, but next week in Cleveland. Patriots still, believe it or not, with all this turmoil, with this pall that's over this team this year, particularly after the last two losses, it's not completely ridiculous to think that they could be a number one pick and they could still play at least maybe even two home games in the AFC playoffs, which is pretty much a ticket to the Super Bowl. I know I'm Pollyanna. I'm sounding, what games are you watching, Mustard? I would never count out Belichick and Brady. I would never think that this team is headed for
it's
anything but the Super Bowl.
It's one thing to not count out a player and a coach. It's another thing to look at the whole situation and the ineptness on the offense and just say, oh, I would never count them out. This isn't about counting somebody out, Craig. This is just like a total breakdown. Now, that doesn't mean that all of a sudden on the practice field, somebody, it'll click and somebody will turn around and they'll start getting it and they'll start getting open for Brady and the like and the running game will turn around. I'm not saying that can't happen. I'm just saying presently when you look at the team and then when you add the stupid videotape story to the whole thing, it is frustrating.
It's just another thing.
Okay.
It is. And I understand where you're coming from. You know, the whole Antonio Brown deal. You had Kraft from last year at the Orchids of Asia. Gronk retiring. Some of the injuries. The offense looks completely enfeebled this year. It is depressing.
See, I don't mind a team getting old.
Right.
You know, if things start to fall apart
right.
and everything,
right.
that's the Patriots have given us a magnificent run over right. the year. They have been terrific. And I understand all that. And I understand nothing goes on forever. And I get that.
And I think that's what
it's
you feel. You're feeling that right now.
No, I think the Patriots are adding to it. See, I think you're going to get old as it is. But when you're adding to it, like Brady might play out the string and go play for another team and they don't even have a number two draft pick. They're losing picks and the like. And They don't have a tight end, and there's just a lot of little things going on. I think that you have to look at it. I'm not saying it's over, but I certainly think you have to look at it.
Well, they're going to finish the season most likely at 13-3. Most likely there'll be
a second seed. Which is a great record.
It's unbelievable. You know, a lot of organizations would like to have the Patriots' problems. Oh, 13-3, number two seed, maybe a number one, at least one home game and a bye. God, this team is in complete and utter turmoil. How are they ever going to get themselves out of it?
I mean, as bad as this team is playing right now, how'd you like to play Cincinnati?
I'd love to play Cincinnati.
Talk about a break.
Yeah. I mean, hey, you know, the old phrase, we're on to Cincinnati, happened after a Kansas City loss in 2014. They went on a 4 or 5 game winning streak, and they ended up winning the Super Bowl that year. So maybe we're on to Cincinnati.
Then they play the last game against Miami. Wow.
So they are going to feel better about themselves in this next 3-game run. The 5-game gauntlet is over. They lost their 3 games, all against teams that are very much playoff contenders, Houston, Kansas City, and Baltimore. They're going to probably have to face at least 2 of those, but now the schedule's back to what it was in the first 10 games or so. It's looking a heck of a lot better for the Patriots in these last 3 games. I think you'll feel, I know you, you'd sometimes respond emotionally, and you're going to respond emotionally again. You're going to say in 3 weeks, the Patriots are ready to defend their Super Bowl title.
No. This isn't an emotional response. This is more of a factual response. When you're looking at situations and you're looking at players and you're looking at players who aren't even playing, and you're not getting any explanations. It's not so much emotional as it is frustrating.
All right. Are you as frustrated and melancholic as Larry Johnson is right now? The season's going down the toilet. It's all over. Pats have lost 2 straight. What do you think? 617-779-0850. Not even written down. You see that? Not bad. Been practicing on my own all week. That number again
is... What, you drive around in the car?
I do. 617-779-0850. If you have that radio.com app, you can check us out there. And we will be here till 12 noon. Love to hear from you. Give us a call. It's Mustard and Johnson, Sports Radio, WEEI AM.
Tom Brady every Monday morning on the Greg Hill Show on WEEI 93.7 FM. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
And it is on to Cincinnati for the Patriots, who take on the 1-12 Bengals tomorrow. Kickoff at 1 o'clock as the Pats look to get off a 2-game schneid. Speaking of losing streaks, how about the Bruins? They've lost 5 in a row. Tonight they're down in Florida taking on the Panthers. Puck dropping at 7 there. And the Celtics have also lost a couple straight after falling to the Sixers at the Garden on Thursday night in Indiana the night before. They got some time off before they take on the Mavericks Wednesday night at the Garden. College football, it's the annual Army versus Navy game, 3:30 this afternoon. You can check it out right here on WEEI FM at 3. And later on, they'll hand out the Heisman Trophy, most likely to LSU's Joe Burrow at the Downtown Athletic Club in New York. BC set to hire a new coach. Ohio State's defensive coordinator, Jeff Hafley, will be the new coach, according to The Athletic. And that's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I know that you said that football and the TV production side are different entities. You guys did
the football team, the football staff, and the coaching staff had nothing to do with what happened. Nothing. So we had no involvement in it.
You guys had a scout in the Cleveland press box. So was he aware of the rules that you can't film from the press box?
He was doing his job. That's what he was doing. He was doing his job. Like we all tried to do. That's what the football team, the football staff, and the coaching staff did last week, to try to do their job for Kansas City, and then Cincinnati, and then Buffalo next week, and that's it. So I just answered a question. That's it. We had no involvement in it. Zero.
Bill, have you heard from the league at all?
Yeah, I told you everything. Look, Mr. Kraft made a statement. The team made a statement. That's all I need to add.
Have you reached out?
Do not have anything to add. Do not have anything to add.
What a shock. I'm stunned, mortified, and stupefied that Bill Belichick had nothing to add to this controversy with the Kraft Media production filming the Bengals sideline in the Cleveland game last Sunday. I thought Bill would expand, embellish, explain the whole thing. Guess he decided not to this time, huh?
There's a hubris.
Yes.
Makeup to him that when he wants to talk, he's fine and glib and everything's, you know, everything is beautiful and so on. And then there's the other part of him, which is most of the time, and he just doesn't feel like talking or doesn't feel he needs to talk or I don't know how they cover him down there. I really don't. Or I'd have to yell out and just get thrown out of there, I guess, because it's just annoying.
Right. And another thing he said, and I don't know if
And Kraft turned around and said, you know everything you need to know. What the hell kind of answer is that?
You know, sunlight is the best disinfectant. Great line from Louis Brandeis, Supreme Court Justice.
Yeah, just get a nice set of handkerchiefs and call it a day.
Just be transparent. Just say what happened. Here's the problem, and we're going to get to the phones in a second. They just don't have any credibility, because if you read Gasper's piece in the Globe, pretty much when they were kings, when they were spying,
yeah,
and they got caught filming the Jets sideline in 2007. For 7 years, they were doing that, and they were pretending they were members of the media. They did this undercover. They did this with a little deceit and duplicity. And they had credentials on, and they appeared as if they were working for some media company, not for the scouting department. So here we are again, same Patriot team, maybe different actors here, but pretty much the same idea. Now, it could be completely, and I'm guessing it is completely innocent. There's a plausibility to this. There's credibility in what the Patriots are saying, but they don't have any. That's the problem. So you can go either way with this issue.
If people call, your friends called you up right now and they start rattling off the list of different situations that they've been involved in over the years, I don't have anything to say.
Right.
I really don't. I can't defend them anymore.
Now, it really is difficult to do. I think you can defend him in this isolated incident. But unfortunately, the accumulation of all the other things, Spygate and Deflategate.
Deflategate jokes.
And everything else, you're absolutely right. And I can understand why you're feeling just a little blue today, Larry Johnson.
The Deflategate thing, I can stretch it. And I think that, you know, there's a lot of to that. But when you keep adding things to it, you know, to send Laurel and Hardy out there, and then they're wearing Bruins apparel and some other thing, and they're just stupid. And they're just, like, how far up does stupid go?
Right.
That's what I want to know.
It was more stupidity, probably, than, you know, some malevolence. There was no evil involved. I don't think they were trying to trick anybody, but they should have understood. This team of all teams should have understood the protocol for what you can and what you can't do. And one of the rules is, and every member of the Patriot scouting staff and media staff should know, you can't film the other team's sideline.
And some other program they're doing it for or whatever, do your job. Can I tell you something, guys out there at Foxborough? Nobody gives a damn. Who cares what you're taping or trying to put a little clever program together with your little logo up on your heart area there. No, nobody gives a damn. What we want to know is, why do you keep drafting bad? Why do you have no players that you can put out there who understand the system and can get open? What happens to you? You take phony Michelle, and he can't run the ball, and you have other players that you could have taken that you didn't take. I think people are just frustrated, and you're not getting any answers. Why don't you open the floor up, have a little round table, and put Belichick out there with Kraft and... I forget the gentleman's name, Florio or whatever. I don't know the last one. The last general manager, the nice one who's out there all the time making business decisions and the like. Just put the three of them out there.
Nick Casario, you're talking about?
Yeah. Let them talk. Let them talk. What is going on? That's all people want to know.
Are you as frustrated as Larry Johnson? Give us a call.
I am frustrated.
No, Larry's frustrated.
And if you're not frustrated, then I don't know what the heck you've
been
watching.
I'm not frustrated because I don't believe that the end is as near as you believe it is.
No, this is embarrassing, okay? How's that for a new word for this?
It doesn't sink to that level.
Every time you turn around, the team's involved in some crap.
Right.
Really.
I'm sure that the millions of haters around the country are licking their chops right now. They're salivating.
Even if it's innocent, they don't care. They just feel
not.
Like this is the way the Patriots operate.
Oh, they're jumping all over this. They are loving what they're hearing. Oh, good. Spygate, the sequel. They're doing it again. You can't trust these guys. They're cheaters. And believe me, they're loving it all across the other 44 states.
I'll tell you one thing. I can't wait to see what kind of reaction we get with Red Sox Nation when they trot out this team for spring training and the like. If they don't make any moves and they try and trade Price and they might have to add a frontline outfielder to go with Price in order to get the price tag down, this is not a good time.
You really just, it's, you know, we're only 11 days away from Christmas, Larry, and, you know, we should be in holiday
mood. What happened
mood.
On Christmas cannot change, despite whether you like it or not. But, it won't change.
But you seem really down in the dumps.
No, I'm not down. I'm just saying I'm frustrated with this Patriots team.
Well, maybe we'll
every
talk...
time you turn around, there's some other crap going on, and why you don't see that, I don't understand.
Boy, I'll tell you. Steve, I hope you're not as depressed as Larry is. You're next on Sports
Good morning.
Radio. What's going on, Steve?
No, I'm not a Patriots fan, so that's
oh, you're
all right.
Loving all
I
this.
I'm really enjoying it. Yep. I just want to say something. I have a strong theory where Brady's going to go next year.
Okay.
There's one team that's going to make an incredible offer and desperately needs to sign him, and that's the Chargers. They're moving into a new stadium. They cannot. They literally cannot afford to people are not buying PSLs, people are not buying tickets, they're in big trouble. And don't you think Giselle would love to live in Los Angeles?
What will they do with Rivers?
I think they'll cut him. In fact, I don't think there'll be a trade, but I think Rivers will wind up with the Patriots next year. That's my prediction.
Wait a minute, hold on a second. I can buy Brady going to LA/San Diego, Southern California, we'll call it.
I mean, they'll give him a four-year. They'll give him a four-year contract.
Oh,
you know,
gosh.
A four-year deal for a 42-year-old. I don't think that's happening.
I'm saying they're desperate.
Right.
They'll do anything.
Right.
Anything Brady wants, they'll do to
sign. What are you predicting?
They cannot sell tickets.
Steve, what are you predicting? A straight-up trade, Brady for Rivers?
No, not at all. No, not at all. Not a trade. I think, no, Patriots are...
He'll be a free agent, Craig. You don't have to trade him.
Yeah, right. No, there's no trade. He'll sign, and then the Patriots will be desperate for a quarterback. They'll probably release Rivers.
Right.
And I think it'll either be Rivers or Eli Manning will be their quarterback next year, frankly.
Wow. That would be jarring for Patriot fans. I think that is more a wishful thinking scenario on your part, Steve, than actual reality.
They got Todd Taylor as a backup to Rivers, so
the Chargers have to sell tickets. They're gonna lose so much money. They're moving into the stadium and they have no fans. They have think how many tickets they'll sell the day they sign Brady.
Is it because they're not really affiliated with any one area, and that's why people aren't responding?
Yeah, well, and plus the team sucks, and they recognize there's no good future. Rivers is, you know, basically over the hill. That's my theory. One last thing I just want to say. You know, you talk about how the referees cheated the Patriots last year. Just remember this. On that play that they didn't call a touchdown, they still had first down on the 3-yard line. Think about that. First down on the 3-yard line, and they couldn't score.
You're talking after the fumble, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, everyone's saying that the referee screwed them. First down on the 3-yard line, and all they could do was kick a field goal.
I keep trying to tell Craig their offense is inept, and it's obvious. So usually you have one or the other. You have a pretty good running game or you have a good passing game. Craig, they're not even scoring in the red zone. They're not even producing. They've got that kid Harris. I'd like to see him. I'd like to see anybody. But what did he have? Five carries last week for 3 yards? Some ridiculous.
Talking about Sony?
Yeah.
5 carries, 8 yards.
Yeah, just terrible.
Not exactly productive, and I give you credit. You've been down on him pretty much from the beginning. You have not been a Sony Michel fan. He did have a very good stretch at the end of the year, averaged over 100 yards in the playoffs because they—
Yeah, I'm sure the offensive line didn't help any. I know that. I'll grant him that.
And no Devlin has been a huge absence. And obviously—
And no Gronk.
Right. And, you know, a tight end for the ages no longer there. That makes a big difference. You think about all those key situations last year, Kansas City and in the Super Bowl— Gronk made the big plays.
But you know what?
He can't do that anymore.
Look at Pittsburgh. Look at the number of players they've lost. I mean, teams lose players, and yet they continue to push straight ahead and manage to come up with some decent performances.
You're going to be talking, Larry, they're a 13-3 team. You got to remember that. Get some perspective. Take a step back. They're going to be a 13-3 team with at least a one playoff game, maybe two at home.
I still can't understand why they passed over Nick Chubb. I can't understand it.
Right? They made some mistakes. Certainly Lamar Jackson would have looked good in a Patriot uniform. They could have picked him up, too.
Right, sitting right on the board.
Right. There were some draft mistakes.
I'd go out and try and hire Ozzie Newsome. Yeah. I know he's retired, but I try and lure him.
There's no way, because Bill wants complete control, and Ozzie Newsome...
And how's that working out?
He's won 6 Super Bowls, Larry. You are making it sound like this is an incompetent franchise that is going nowhere.
I think Belichick, the coach, has been great. We grant him that. But I think the drafting and stuff, in other words, Casario and him or whatever,
listen,
it just hasn't been that hot, Craig.
They've won 3 of the last 5 Super Bowls. For all their drafting miscues, they somehow managed to transcend those.
Yeah, did you see the Rams last year?
You know, you're coming off.
Did you see the Rams last year?
This is why the rest of the country hates Patriot fans. You're whining, caterwauling, kvetching over a team that's going to end up 13-3.
You, on the other hand, doesn't matter. You put on your rose-colored glasses and you just sing straight ahead, and nothing's wrong anywhere with this team. They can do no wrong, in your opinion.
No, I recognize the foibles.
I haven't heard any from you.
The foibles is they cannot move the ball on offense. But you're trying to tell me that they're going to lose again, they're going to lose twice. They're going to have to lose twice to 2 teams in the postseason. They're going to have to play either Kansas City or Houston in the first round, and Baltimore in the second. They're going to lose twice to 2 teams.
I could see that happening.
Well, I can only lose twice to 1. Actually,
I could see that happening.
Yeah, maybe 617-779.
I don't want it to.
Right,
but obviously it's there.
Well, it's still Brady and Belichick, as far as I'm concerned.
How long are you going to keep saying that?
Well, until they lose a Super Bowl.
Well, how about if he's not there here next year?
He may be gone, but I'm in the here and now, Larry. I'm not worried about what's happening tomorrow.
Well, maybe you should be.
I'm worried about today.
Got his house on the market. Maybe you should be.
John and Walden, you're next on Sports Radio WEEI.
Hey, John.
Craig. Hey, guys.
What's happening?
Hey, how's Pacello going to look in the Mets uniform?
Well, as long as he ain't in the Yankee uniform, it's all right by me.
Hey, you got Cole.
Well, listen, it's going to be a great season next year for the Yankees. I don't know about the Red Sox.
Hey, isn't this the first? Isn't this the first year that it was good to get coal in your stocking?
Very
don't,
funny.
Don't encourage him. Don't encourage him.
I'm here all week, ladies. Not really.
Hey, what's the Yankee payroll right now?
It was like, I think, 200, something like that.
Okay. No, it's up to, it's about 248. 248.
Yeah, it's going up. Yeah, it's going way up.
Yankees
now.
Are going up. Red Sox are going down.
That's right. I told you a while back, the next 3 years of the Yankees division, and the Red Sox are going to have problems for the next 3 years in a row. You watch.
What are they going to do?
They have too many guys locked up that they can't do much with, and they're handcuffed. And so they're going to be stuck in neutral or reverse. They got to get rid of guys because they want to go lower in payroll. So they are going to go down and not up.
What are they going to do with Price?
I don't know. I don't think he's other than he was hurt a little bit last year. I don't think he was a problem on your team.
It wasn't the problem he was in the past, but he was only 7-5, did not get a lot of work in the second half of the year, obviously, with the cyst on his wrist and other assorted injuries, and they're looking to deal him in the worst way. I would have to agree. I think you'd have to be the most ultra-optimistic Red Sox fan to think that the Yankees getting Cole did not pretty much lock up that division for several years to come. No question
about it.
And they had to do it. You know, the 9 years, you know, $36 million, the no trade clause, 5 year out. Yeah. It's a great deal, but
I don't know if it's a great deal for everyone else. It's a great deal for Cole. But we've seen Craig. I mean, after a couple of years, these teams are looking to part ways with these guys. You know what I mean? It's too long.
He's 29. Yeah, no, he's not going to get the full nine. You're not going to get the full 9 years from a team perspective. But if you get 5 or 6 years.
But it's his choice.
Right. And look at Sabathia. Right. Sabathia delivered a championship in his first year, but he was solid, and he was a great leader for 10 years in a Yankee uniform.
That's right.
You know, if they get 5, 6 years out of him,
now,
that's
CC
golden.
Officially retired?
Yes, he is. Yeah. He is now gone. Yeah. So your comment on the Patriot cheating, John?
Well, first of all, Craig, I wouldn't think that they're going to run the table in these next three games. I'm not saying they won't. Okay? They're playing a couple bad teams, but, you know, Buffalo's defense is good enough to keep them in the game against the Patriots' weak offense. So they could hang around in that game. Miami's a little trickery, you know, they throw a lot of trick plays and they don't really care, they got nothing to lose. So I'm not sure they're going to run the table, but onto the cheating thing. I totally think they did it. Absolutely, because you got to think of it this way. They just lost two games in a row. When's the loss, right? Didn't they just lose two in a row?
I believe so. Let me check on that.
Yeah. All right, because my facts ain't been too good lately. But can you imagine if they lost three in a row and the third game was to the one-win Cincinnati Bengals or whatever they are, okay? They would be lining up on the Tobin. So Bill Belichick needs every little advantage he can get because they just cannot lose three straight, and he'll have to face questions. How did you lose to the Bengals? How have you lost three straight? What's wrong with your team? Blah, blah, blah. So I told, and as I said to the guy that answered the phone, okay, they didn't film the Cleveland sidelines, did they? Just a coincidence, they filmed the Cincinnati sidelines.
That is a good point. That is a good point. You know, you think about that. Gee, why weren't the Browns being well, to be honest with the answer is, before we say it's a good point, the answer is because the advanced scout was, who was he scouting? Not the Browns, because the Browns have already played the Patriots. Right. He is scouting the Bengals. So
do
obviously,
your job.
Right.
You know, the other point, too, is so you're spying on Cincinnati. How the hell is that going to help your offense?
Well, they look for every edge they can get. Hey, remember when Belichick got caught for Spygate, they asked him, how much of an edge does it actually give you percentage-wise? Remember what he said? 1%.
Yeah, and Jonathan Kraft said, not Jonathan, Bob Kraft said, well, you're a schmuck then.
That was the word he used, too. Let's go to Nick in Boston, if I can get him up. There he is. Nick, you're next on Sports Radio.
Hi, guys. Love listening to your show.
Well, thanks for calling in.
Thank the world for radio.com. I can hear you anywhere.
Excellent.
Two things. One, Larry, I'm so disappointed in you. I laughed. This Patriots derangement syndrome is such a nice phrase because people nitpick about Belichick's draft choices. Can we not forget the fact that they've been in the AFC Championship game for, it's got to be close to 10 years in a row?
I think that's insane. Yeah.
Yeah, it's insane. So you can nitpick any draft pick here or there, but I doubt over the last 20 years any other team has a better draft record, let alone the same. But what I really wanted to call about was, you know, this whole, every time this Spygate comes up or one of these controversies comes up, all the noise of all the talking heads trying to outdo themselves, they keep adding things to the story. And the one I hear now that drives me nuts is that for 7 years, Belichick was doing Spygate. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that the filming of the sidelines was legal and was done by many teams until either the season before they were busted in 2007, and it might even be as much as a few weeks.
But the league sent out letters asking everybody to stop, and Mr. Arrogance just decided he was going to keep doing it anyway.
That's right, and until the day his biography comes out someday, we'll probably never know why he did it. But you know what? That's all he did. And yet today, to this date, there's people that confuse Tomasi's, you know, wrong story that the Spygators of the Patriots were filming practices and that the NFL destroyed the tapes. Then you get to Deflategate and they say, well, the reason it was punished so hard is because a lot of the owners felt the Patriots didn't get punished. They got off easy in Spygate. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong again. They got $1 million fine to the team. Belichick got a $500,000 fine. They lost the first-round draft pick. It was the most stiff fine in NFL history. That doesn't usually meet my definition of getting off easy. Deflategate is hilarious because it's just a test the NFL pursued and then dropped like a hot potato when it didn't produce the results they want.
But they keep doing it, though. That's the part you got to see.
What do they keep doing? This Spygate 2 is the biggest hilarious thing.
Yeah.
You're going to tell me that the Patriots had some nefarious motive. They walk into Cleveland. They announce to the Cleveland people, we need your permission to film because we're doing a video in advanced scouting. My guess is if you have a Spygate history and you're trying to do something sneaky, you don't walk into Cleveland and say, can I have permission to film? And, oh, by the way, we're filming Cincinnati. Well, yeah, it's a story on advanced scouts and how they do the job. Of course they're going to film Cincinnati if they were doing it the week before the Baltimore game.
Why didn't they inform Cincinnati if they weren't doing anything wrong?
Yeah, Cincinnati was not aware of it. That would have been obviously a lot more kosher, and because they did not, this is why we're talking about it.
So, exactly. But you know what? That could be explained by a million different things. The point is that you're trying to be sneaky.
Nick, you're absolutely right. For any other team, it could be explained by a million other things, but when it's the Patriots, they don't have a whole lot of room for error.
Not when you keep doing it.
No. 617-779-0850 is the telephone number. One down. We got two more to go. Would love to hear from you. Larry Johnson's down in the dumps. He thinks the Patriots are going nowhere. He's just not feeling good about this team. He's got the holiday blues just when, you know, Christmas is around the corner.
Don't confuse the two.
Okay.
How the Patriots perform
has
nothing to do with the meaning of Christmas.
They won't ruin your Christmas.
And that Christ was born on Christmas Day to deliver all sinners from their despair. Nothing can change that.
Now, what's the passage that Linus quotes in Charlie Brown's Christmas, Matthew something, that Charles Schulz wrote for that great Christmas special, Charlie Brown's Christmas from 1965.
Yeah, I don't know which
passage. It's Matthew something.
Probably 123, I'm trying to think.
I'm not sure, but Linus, with his blanket, goes out on center stage and quotes the great passage in my favorite holiday cartoon.
How that does not touch you in any way is a mystery I'll never understand.
What doesn't touch me?
Christmas and the meaning of it.
I love the tradition of Christmas.
Do you know the meaning of it?
I'm not a religious person.
I'm a
secular humanist.
I don't know. What does that mean?
That means that I believe in man.
Yeah. In how as much as man showed you so far?
Not too good, especially these days. I've watched too much cable news. 617-779-7. Nope. See, I you screwed me up. You know what you did? You threw out the I word, and I was doing so well with the telephone number.
Yeah,
as soon as you threw the I word, you flustered me. What's that number, Larry?
617-779-0850.
Mustard and Johnson back for hour number two coming up on Sports Radio 850 AM WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.